chapter 3, beginning verses 1 to 4. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord who you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in the days gone by, as in former years. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This morning's gospel reading is Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, and can be found on page 1029 of the church Bibles, or will appear on the screens in front of you. Hear the gospel of our Lord according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate became governor of Judea, and Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Ithuria, and Trachonitis, there we go, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the word of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do take a seat. Just shows that how many times you read a passage when preparing a sermon, unless you read it out loud, you don't know where you're going to fall over. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a comfort to us, but that it is also a challenge. So as we look at it this morning, we pray, Lord, that you would come by your Spirit, that you would challenge us, and you would comfort us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In this second Sunday of Advent, we're thinking about preparing the way with those great words of John the Baptist from Luke 3. But I am going to be focusing a lot of what I say on the words of the prophet Malachi. I do love a bit of Advent because we get to go into some of the minor prophets and explore what they have to say when maybe we don't look at them for much of the rest of the year. And this morning's big idea is this: that like the arrival of a beloved guest, the coming of the Lord is something we should look forward to and something we should prepare for. The coming of the Lord is something we should look forward to and something to prepare for. You see, it's often at this time of year that we think of our longing for the Lord. We think of the injustice that still reigns in the world, the poverty, the hunger, the oppression. We think of the things in our own lives that bring us hurt and grief and pain. And we think about the fact that the Lord has promised to come again and wipe away every tear, bring freedom to everyone on earth, to be a father to the fatherless, to set the oppressed free, to love the unloved. And we long for that day to come as we remember him coming that first Christmas morning. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 refers to the Lord that you are seeking, he whom you desire, who will come. But it's important to not take this verse out of context. You see, the verse that goes with it, the verse that precedes it, which wasn't, no offence to Tom, in the Church of England lectionary for today, says this: "You have wearied the Lord with your words." We have wearied him, you ask, by saying, "All who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them." Or, "Where now is the God of justice?" And these two can be questions that we ask. Where is the God of justice in the pain and suffering of the world? Where too is the God of justice in the pain and the suffering of our own lives? I heard only this week of a soldier who has recently returned from Afghanistan and is still suffering from post-traumatic stress. He visited Southwark Cathedral to find some peace and some solace. And when a colleague of mine asked, "Can I pray for you?" his response was, "I don't think God cares about me. Else, why would I have suffered this in my life?" These are serious questions that we ask. But they're also questions that sometimes we ask in a way that maybe the people of Malachi's day would have asked, with a slightly different tone of voice, as they asked, "Where is the Lord of God of justice?" As they looked on and saw that those who did evil prospered and those who were good fell by the wayside, they had almost turned their backs on justice themselves, because they felt that God him too had turned his back on justice. And what we read this morning was God's response. He comes and speaks through the prophet Malachi and says, "The Lord that you are seeking will appear. The one whom you desire will come." Some of the commentators think that this might be an ironic statement, "the Lord you are seeking," because actually they weren't seeking him. They were blaming him and they turned their backs on the things that he had called them to do. This time of year, we think of the longing we have for the Lord to come. And then Malachi turns in his word from the Lord to the coming of the Lord and the consequences of that. And there's an interesting contrast between that longing and that desire for the Lord to come, and then this statement in Malachi 3:2 that he says next: "You long for the Lord, you desire him, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears?" You see, often when we think of our longing for the Lord, for him to bring justice in the world, for him to bring justice in our lives. We often forget the injustice in our own hearts. And that is what the Lord is turning to at this point. He's asking his listeners, his readers, to consider their part in the injustices that they see around them. If the Lord of justice comes, which one of us would be able to endure the day of his coming? Which one of us would be able to stand our ground and say that we had done everything right, that we had always been just, that we had done everything in our power to free the oppressed, to look after the widow and the orphaned, to protect the foreigner and the lowly among us? There's this dichotomy, isn't there, of us longing for the Lord to bring justice in the world, but actually being blissfully unaware of the injustice in our own hearts and in our own lives. And the prophet Malachi is saying, yes, the Lord will come. The Lord still cares about justice. The Lord still cares about the oppressed. The Lord still is the father of the fatherless. But you and I, those of us who long for his coming, the prophet encourages us to consider our own hearts and how we will stand on the day of the coming of the Lord. How will we survive the refiner's fire? The prophet paints a picture of a refiner stooped over the cauldron with his metal in a crucible, burning off the chaff, the waste, the impurities. And a refiner would do this and continue this process, repeat this process, press in despite the heat and the flames and the smoke until he could see his own reflection in the metal that he was purifying. The refiner would continue the refining process until he could see his own reflection in the metal that he was refining. God calls us, his church, those of us who know him and follow him, to be his hands and feet on this earth. He calls us to reflect his glory, to be his image. And here there is a picture of the refiner refining the metal until he can see his own image reflected back in the metal. It's a great challenge, I think, to each of us who are going through suffering, who are going through hardships, are asking us for ourselves, where is the Lord? Where is the Lord in my suffering? Where is the Lord in my hardship? Maybe he's right there with you. Maybe we need to open our eyes and look, to remember that he is still the God of justice. That what breaks our hearts has already broken his. What makes tears fall in our eyes have already made tears fall from his. I think one of the saddest passages in the Bible is in the book of Genesis, just before as the story of Noah begins. And it says that the Lord looked on the world and was sad with what he had done. Because of the pain, because of the suffering of his people, the pain and the suffering they cause on one another. But the Lord gives us a way to survive the refining fire. And this is where we turn to our New Testament passage. As we look to the coming of the Lord on that first Christmas morning, the coming that was prepared by John the Baptist in his call for repentance, his call for justice, his call for the nation, just as Malachi had called hundreds of years before, for the nation to turn their hearts back to God. John too calls on the nation to prepare their hearts for God in the wake of the coming of Jesus. And Jesus came. That we would be able to survive the refiner's fire. He took the worst of that heat as he died on the cross for our sins, for the injustices not only of the world, but actually of each of our hearts. He died on that cross to reconcile the whole world to himself. But he also died on that cross to make a way for you and for I to come to him. He knows the world needs him. He knows that you and I need him. And he has come to make a way for us to pass through the fire and the flood, to come out with robes of white, washed with the launderer's soap, as Malachi put it. Not because of our own righteousness, not because of our own faith, but because of his and our trust in him. So our encouragement this morning is the encouragement that the listeners of Malachi would have had all those years ago. Those who encountered John in the desert would have had. The Lord is coming. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. But what is he calling us to do as we prepare the way for him? As we turn back to him, as we open our hearts to him and to the people around us. This morning's big idea is this. Like the arrival of a beloved guest, the coming of the Lord is something we should look forward to. And it is also something to prepare for. Let's spend a little moment in quiet and invite the Lord by his Spirit to come into our hearts. Maybe for some of us, We need to remember that we should be looking forward to the Lord coming. Maybe we've forgotten that actually this world needs the God of justice. Today more than ever before. Perhaps for some of us, the Lord will put on our hearts something he wants us to do, to be his hands and his feet, to love the unloved, to bring justice where there is injustice, to free the oppressed. Lord God, we thank you that despite the injustice of our own hearts, that you have made a way for us to pass through the refiner's fire. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are changing us to be more like you, to reflect your glory, your character, your love, your mercy, your grace. Father, we turn back to you. We repent. Of living lives that deny that you are the God of justice. And Father, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, we might be salt and light. We might bring love and grace. We might reflect your glory, your love, and your sacrifice to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're right.